Let's open up in prayer. Father, we just want to thank you once again. We thank you for today as we, Lord, look into your word. I pray that you speak to us. Lord, I pray, Father, that you open our eyes. Lord, I pray, Father, that you draw us closer to you. Anoint each and everyone in Jesus' name. Amen. Does it sound very bassy? Yeah? Please, it sounds a bit bassy. Thank you. I'm gonna talk about the kingdom of God, explaining the kingdom of God. I think Miles Monroe, the late, spoke about the kingdom of God quite well. There's a gentleman called David Paulson who has also spoken about the kingdom of God, I think, quite well. Pastor Aisha, our very own, spoke about the kingdom of God very well. Very, very well. I think you missed the clap over there. And I think Pastor Joe also has been speaking to us about the kingdom of God very well. Really, really blessed by what has been spoken. I'm going to continue talking about the kingdom of God. But just before I talk about the kingdom of God, just want to encourage you. God will do it again. I'm going to repeat myself. God will do it again. I might as well finish my sermon and sit down. If you've fallen in sin, God will do it again. He will restore you. He will get you back on track. If you've missed it, he will bring you back again. If the first Adam has failed, God will bring the second Adam. He will do it again. God is very passionate about his vision and what he wants to do. He will do it again. I wanted to talk about the kingdom of God. And I always say this, that the Bible is about a king, a story of a king, old and new. It's about a story of a king. King, a king. And this king, the Father, is in heaven. It's not on earth. He is in heaven. So what does he do? He creates the earth. And when he creates the earth, he wants to extend his kingdom. And in order to extend his kingdom, he brings in Adam. Adam to extend his kingdom on earth. And Adam is supposed to extend his kingdom. Anytime the word dominion is being spoken about, it means rulership. It means kingdom. So he creates Adam. And then God says in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our own image, according to our own likeness. Let them have dominion. Let them have rulership. Let them be kings. And let them rule this earth. Let them be fruitful. Let them multiply. As I said, we are dealing with a kingdom. We are dealing with a government. Before I go to the church, I know we speak a lot about the church, but I think in order for you to understand God well, you need to understand how a kingdom operates. We are a kingdom. And so God brings Adam here on earth, and I want to use the word colonization. I know when the word colonization is used, it's got bad connotations. My opinion is that if colonization was done well, it would have benefited very many people. I know for sure that God is trying to colonize you. Actually, God is colonizing you. He is a king. A kingdom has to expand. It has to become bigger and bigger and bigger. It has to expand. The kingdom of God is forcefully advancing. And the forceful ones lay hold of it. I'm going to discuss that in a minute. But I'm going to bring the word colonization. And the word colonization comes from a part of a body called the colon. And where does the colon start from? The colon starts from the mouth. Excuse my language. And it goes all the way to the rectum. That's the colon. And so, when you eat food, that food energizes you. And that food, to some extent, colonizes you, makes you strong. You know, people, when they eat, they're okay. They're strong. It is true. Even Jesus said it. He said, my meat is to do the will of my Father. Another version says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. In other words, Jesus derives his strength from food, from what he eats. We say the colonization comes from the mouth. That's why the Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone. He shall live by every word that comes from the mouth. From God, who is the mouth, comes down to you and you become energized and you do the will of God. Kingdom is in operation. Ladies and gentlemen, there are only two kingdoms. There are only two countries on this earth. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. Only two. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. These two kingdoms are not at par. When I say that, they're not the same. I think very many times of how the society is, even as we watch our media and our programs, you usually find that very many stories about a dark person and the light, the good person. And this good person is fighting the good person is fighting the bad person. There's always this antagonism between the good and the bad, and they're almost at par, and there's this war, and eventually the good person wins. And most of these movies are the same. There's always a good person and a bad person. And so in our minds, we think God and Satan, the kingdom of darkness, is the same. It's not. It's not. You've got to understand who you're dealing with. The kingdom of God. So long as you're in the kingdom of God, it's a far much superior kingdom. You read the book of Revelations and see how Satan is dealt with an angel, not an archangel, with an angel. With one hand, he holds Satan. With another hand, he opens the bottomless pit and throws him in. You see, the worship team does me injustice, with all due respect. The worship team needs to be here because I love to sing whenever I get excited. The song that says, let all the other names... Got to understand who you're dealing with. We're dealing with a king. And as I said, a king has to extend his kingdom. You see, when Jesus came, he came preaching the kingdom. He came preaching the kingdom. Jesus never spoke a lot about himself. He did, but never spoke a lot about himself. He spoke a lot about the kingdom. So when Jesus comes, you see, let's talk about the principles of a kingdom. Again, I'm going to go back to colonization. All right? A king has his headquarters. If a king decides to leave his headquarters and go to another country, that country becomes the headquarters. That's why the Father cannot leave heaven. If he leaves heaven and comes here on earth, then what happens? The earth becomes the headquarters. But he doesn't. And so, when the disciples asked Jesus, how should we pray? How should we? Teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. Jesus told them something very profound. He told them, do not pray about cars, about clothes. Do not pray about those things. Don't pray about a husband or a wife. First and foremost, our Father who art in heaven is not coming here on earth. So Jesus has told us where our Father is. He's located the Father. Then he goes on to say what? Your kingdom come down here on earth. So the first thing that we need to be praying for is for the kingdom to come here on earth. Because if the kingdom comes here on earth, you've got everything. My friends, the principles of a kingdom say that everything that belongs to the king belongs to you. You do not own anything. The king usually owns everything. Everything. Your time, you think you own your time. People behave like they own their time. Your energy, that degree that he gave you. Some of you have got more degrees than a thermometer. Masters, PhD. All these things that he gave you. They're not for you to enjoy yourself. Everything belongs to the king. and the king is expecting you to enforce his kingdom. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Once your kingdom has come, you do not really, to be honest, really need to pray for other things. Because the kingdom is here. Once you are enforcing God's kingdom, everything is added to you. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God at the moment is largely invisible. I always tell people this. If you live by visible things, you're going to be very miserable. If you live by the things that you see, you're going to be very miserable. Everything that we see is temporal. Everything that you're going through is but for a moment. Everything. Everything that you're going through at the moment is temporal. But if you live by the laws of God, the spiritual laws of God, the invisible things, you're going to be one of the happiest people on earth. The kingdom of God. The king's domain. God wants you to rule. You know when God says King of Kings, he's the King of Kings. And very many of us, even I, for a very long time, thought he was meaning the king of all the other kings on the earth. He's actually the king of you, the kings, because you're a king. You are also a king. You are meant to rule in your own sphere of influence. Where God has placed you to be, you are meant to rule, to extend, to expand, to show his glory. Let me use the word glory. I think when the word glory is used, we usually think about some gas and then some, you know, the glory has come, some color air has come. Let me explain glory simply. Glory just means nature or just means image. Let us create man according to our own image. Let us create man according to our own glory, according to our own nature. So when you go to work, you are showing God's glory. You're showing God's nature. You're on time. You're productive. You're very good. You don't steal the pens there. You are showing God's glory. When you come to church, you are showing God's glory. You are on time. You're working hard. You're blessing other people. You are showing God's nature. You're showing God's image. Simple as. And we're extending that nature. We're extending that particular glory. And so Jesus comes to the earth. And the first thing that Jesus says after he has been tempted in the wilderness. The first thing that Jesus says, Matthew chapter 4 verse 17. From the time that Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Or rather, the kingdom of God has arrived. And so the gospel simply becomes the kingdom. Now, Jesus, let me use God. God was very smart in the sense that he decided to send Jesus during the time of the transition between the Roman and the Greek Empire. And the Greek were philosophers. They were great philosophers. They liked to debate all sorts of things. And they used to have groups of people debating things. And these groups of people would debate so many things to the extent that it went into the sphere of politics. And they had groups of people who were used to govern the way the empire was run. And the Roman Empire borrowed what the Greek were doing. And so Jesus came and he saw groups of people. And some groups were political groups. Some groups were just debaters. So Jesus says this, even I will create my own ecclesia. I can see you've got different ecclesias. I also will create my own ecclesia, my own group, my own people. And this ecclesia will be different from all the other ecclesias. This ecclesia, ecclesia means church, the called out ones, are the ones who are going to enforce my kingdom. They are the ones who are going to push my kingdom. They are the ones who, as they connect with the mouth of the kingdom, they enforce my kingdom. Some of us need to go back to the connection of the mouth of the kingdom. I think Pastor Steve was talking about prayer. Some of us need to be very, very, vigilant and connect with prayer once again, because you need to enforce the kingdom. It says, my will, my meat is to do the will of him who sent me. As I enforce the kingdom, I am strengthened. Ladies and gentlemen, strength. I know that strength, very many of us, you know, go for holidays, and it is said that the holiday is supposed to refresh you. To be honest, I came from a holiday. I didn't really feel refreshed, I'll be honest. I think I'm even more tired. I know that, you know, you want to go for a holiday and get refreshed. The Bible says, they that wait on the Lord. Or does it say that they that go for holidays upon holidays or take rest? They that wait on the Lord, what shall they do? They shall renew their strength. Let me tell you one thing. So long as you're plugging into the work of God and you're in God's will, your strength is renewed. Now sometimes you see people in the church and they always look fresh. But they're doing a lot of things. They don't look tired. It is very, very biblical. They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. And even it goes on to say that the young men. You see these footballers. Young men training, very fit. See these athletes. Young men training, very fit. They grow weary. The Bible says that, but they that wait on the Lord, they that are pushing God's agenda, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Somebody was asking me, why does God use eagles? An eagle. Why? Why the eagle? The eagle is a very interesting animal. The eagle is always soaring high up. Doesn't go with the crowd. He's always solitary. He's very excellent. He's above. He's got excellent vision. He knows where he's going. He can see far. The eagle comes down, pinpoints, and hits the snake. Who's the snake? Spiritually speaking, who's the snake? It's the enemy, isn't it? Have you ever seen eagles when they're fishing? He knows how to fish. I will make you fishers of men. He knows, he can see from afar, picks the fish and goes. Never misses. It says, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. Talking about the kingdom. The kingdom. We are kings here on earth. As I said, Adam was meant to rule. Adam did not do a great job. So Jesus came back again. Go and make disciples of all nations. In other words, go and colonize other people. Let them look like me, speak like me. And when they have gotten down to their knees and they cry out, Abba, Father, you have done your job. In the kingdom, natural kingdom, I said, the king is in the headquarters. He usually sends a governor. And the governor goes into the country where it's meant to be colonized. And the governor makes sure that the people in that nation speak like the king, dress like the king, sing the king's anthem, and honors the king. I said, I came from a country that was colonized, Kenya. And my dad passed away in 2010. Can sing three of the versions of God Save the Queen. I can sing only one version. When I went there, he shocked me. He sang all the three of them. Kenya is a very hot nation. My dad was always wearing his suit and tie. At 4 p.m. when we're in Kenya, we have to stop what we are doing and go and drink tea at 4 p.m. We used to play football, but 4 p.m. everybody goes home, drinks tea. And then we come back and continue playing football. Colonization. So you can speak, in fact, the word Christian means somebody who is Christ-like. And that is the essence of Christ. It's a kingdom. We're enforcing a kingdom. We are Christ-like. We look like Christ. We are, let me use Nigerian, or Ghanaian, or Kenyan. Sometimes you can look at a Kenyan just by the way he looks and he talks and his accent and the way he dressed. You say, this is a Kenyan. If you look at a Nigerian, the way he talks, the way he behaves, the way he does, this is a Nigerian. Same way with a Christian. The way you talk and the way you behave and the way you go about people should say, this is a Christian. No cussing and swearing. Say, are you a Christian? Have you been asked that before? I've been asked that before. They should be able to straight away pinpoint that this is a Christian by the way they carry themselves. They have been colonized by heaven. They have been changed and transformed by heaven. God is in the agenda of colonization, expanding his kingdom. Ever since the time of John the Baptist, the Bible says, the kingdom of God has been forcefully advancing. In other words, the kingdom has been permeating even our bodies. The kingdom has been forcefully advancing. That's why some who are once depressed, there's no more depression. The kingdom of God is forcefully advancing in that area. Once there was anger there, the anger is no more. The kingdom of God. That's why Jesus said it. Stop praying for these other things. Pray for the kingdom. Because once the kingdom comes, everything else has to dissipate. There has to be change. There has to be transformation. I know that the Lord has been trying to change some of you, and you've been resisting him. Some of you, the Lord has been calling you to a higher level. Some of you, the Lord has been calling you to give his life to him. And you've been resisting. And God will continue to call on you. God wants to colonize you in a good sense. It's not in a bad sense. God is calling you. Meaning of the word call. Meaning of the word call. God is calling us. Many are called, but few are chosen. This was being debated in on our Bible schools. How come many are called, but few are chosen? What does the word call mean? In the Bible, the meaning of the word call is invited. Many are invited. If I invite you, Edmund, to my house, you are expecting something. And if I invite you to my house, I'm going to make sure I've cleaned the house. I've got the best food. I'll bring out my chinaware, the best chinaware. I've invited you. But it's up to you to respond to that invitation. Many are called, few are chosen. Many are invited, few respond to that invitation. Those of you who God is calling you, you better respond. There is nothing on this earth greater than the kingdom of God. For me, I said there is nothing. There is nothing for me. No more. I can't go to a nightclub. It just won't do anything for me. It won't. I can't be chasing all these pleasures of the earth. I know who God is now. God has permeated me. I know who he is now. I don't need to be chasing all these other things. There is nothing greater. The kingdom of God is like a pearl. Pastor Asia talked about last week that a man found deep. Pearl was, in those days, was a treasure. Great, great treasure. It was very difficult to get. You need to understand the tradition and the culture of the day. It's not like these days we've got submarines. You need to understand that, yeah. They didn't have submarines in those days. And we found it. And it was a great treasure. Great, great treasure. Kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is very, very, very valuable. Very, very, very valuable. God does not entertain sin. You know, when Adam was chucked out of the Garden of Eden as a form of judgment and an angel with a sword was put there, Really, that angel is protecting Adam and Eve. Because if they entered the presence of God with sin, they would die straight away. He was protecting them. You remember this guy called Uzziah? Is it Uzzah? And the ark was going to fall. And he was innocent. He didn't do nothing wrong. But God does not entertain sin. Hey, and some of us, we entertain sin. Best friends, we need to change, please. We need to change. We need to change the kingdom of God. Let me finish with this and then we're going to pray. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Somebody quote for me Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Is it out there? It's there. All right. I wanted somebody to quote it because I know it's a very popular scripture, but it's okay. All right. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his, and all these things shall be added unto you. This is a replica of the Lord's Prayer. As I said, the Lord came talking about a kingdom, a king's domain. But before we go there, let's start with Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Before I speak about that, let me say that we are living in a world full of worry, full of fear. This holiday that I came from, that I didn't think that I'm really refreshed, but it's okay. When we were there, just before, I think when we landed there, we went to the coast. And the day that we took the plane, the president of America had killed an Iranian general. I don't know whether you remember. And there was an uproar. And then we landed. And then we went to the coast. Very beautiful place. Sunshine. Ooh. Sea and the works. And the swimming pool. Good food. Relaxing. And then just 200 miles from that, because of what happened in the U.S., the Al-Shabaab is a terrorist group around East Africa, decided to bomb the American Air Force base 200 miles from where we are living. Now, that changed the whole mood of where we are, especially the foreigners there. They could not even sleep anymore. Yeah, are they coming? I said, this world is full of fear. Full of fear and worry. Are they coming? Not sleeping anymore. Checking out when we go for lunch. We are looking, they're looking around. Then we left and we went to the capital city. When we reached the capital city, the Australian embassy released a press release. Do not go to any malls. Do not go to any gatherings. Do not go where people are around. Because we have to be vigilant. Fear and worry went to another notch. So I went out and asked the guys who are living locally. I said, have you heard this press release that, you know, you're not supposed to gather, come even here to buy things from you? So we've had it. We are getting on with our lives. I said, this world is full of fear. When I was in the coast there, when I heard this, I said, I have to sleep. And I really slept. I didn't even know. I think I was snoring even. Worry, fear, there is always fear. Worry about crisis. How am I going to pay the mortgage? Don't have a job. How am I going to get my husband? All sorts of anxieties. Fear and worry. There is a virus now, the coronavirus. Hey, people are walking with masks. This world is full of fear. So Jesus, I think Jesus located us. Jesus has located us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. He says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. I think worry is the most useless thing on this earth. Jesus has found us out. January 2020, Jesus is talking about us. Do not worry what you will eat or about your body. What you will wear, is life not more than food and the body more than the clothes? Asking a question. Then he says, look at the birds of the air. Let us look at the scripture critically. Look at the birds of the air. Where are those birds? The birds are in the air. They do not sow. They do not reap. These birds are not working. I'm not saying you shouldn't work. But when I see these birds, they're not working. They're not sowing. They do not sow. They do not reap. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Where are these birds? In the air. The birds have discovered something. Is Jesus being insensitive? Doesn't he know I haven't got a mortgage? I've got a mortgage to pay. I can't buy a mortgage. Doesn't he know I've got money in my bank account? Doesn't he see what's going on in my house? I was telling some guys that, you know, you need to study the character of Jesus. What has been painted about Jesus in the movies is very wrong. Some lovey-dovey guy with long hair to the shoulders, kind of weak, walks around. If I was speaking to Jesus, Jesus told me, and I asked him something, I told him something, and he tell me, get thee behind me, you Satan. Huh? Man of God. You're talking to me. I'm not coming back to this church. You study Jesus. You come for Jesus for prayer, and he says, I cannot give this food. This food belongs to the children. I cannot give it to dogs. Hey, man of God. You're talking to me. I'm a dog. Huh? You won't see me. This guy, what's wrong with him? You study Jesus. Was he being insensitive? He wasn't. He says, look at the birds in the air. You need to look at the birds in the air. The birds have discovered that if they're in the air, the birds in the air, that's where they're supposed to be. You need to be in God's will. If you're in God's will, and you're serving God, and you're keeping his laws. You're keeping God's laws. Every government, every kingdom has got laws. The problem is that there is a talk, there's a discussion, there is preaching about law and grace, which has not been taught very well, I must say. People abuse the law. The New Testament, ladies and gentlemen, is not exclusively about grace. It's about law. I did not come to do away with the law and the prophets. Grace is enshrined in law. You shall not steal. That is law. You shall not fornicate. New Testament, that is law. It has to be taught well. Hey, you can look at me very strangely here. Look at me very strangely. If I go and pass the red lights, and I end up in court, and I'm in front of the judge. I have broken the law. And the judge tells me, you have broken the law, but I'm going to forgive you. That is grace. It doesn't mean that I'll go back there and start passing the red lights over and over again, because there is grace. In fact, if you go to a judge, most of the time, the judge will say this, do not come back to my court again. If you come back to my court again, I will deal with you. I will deal with you very well. Law. Grace is enshrined in law. So does it mean I have to always break red lights? I just pass red lights every time? Because grace is operating? Jesus said, go and sin no more. He even went on to say, if you go and sin less, something worse comes to you. You want wisdom, start fearing God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Stop praying for wisdom. Pray for the fear of retaining and keeping God's laws. Wisdom will come to you. Fear of God. He says, look at the birds in the air. The birds are in the air. The birds know their place. They're not in the water, they're in the air. Look at them. You think to yourself, if you look at the birds, did they get the memo? Didn't they get the memo? The Al-Shabaab are bombing people. There is an economic crisis. There is famine. Every morning the birds will wake up and start singing. You are worthy of it all. They start singing. Excited. You are worthy of it all. To look at the birds in the air. Then he goes on to say, why do you worry about the clothes? See how the flowers wear in the field grow. The flowers in the field. The flowers have located where they're supposed to be. They're supposed to be in the field, being tended to, being kept. The flowers do not worry about the impending economic crisis. The mango will always give us a mango, even though there are things happening. They know their place. You will never find a polar bear in Africa. He knows his place. As I said, a human being's place is supposed to be in the presence of God and serving God. That is where a human was supposed to be. And if you're in that place and you're keeping God's laws and you're serving God, the kingdom starts expanding. And he goes on to say, they do not labor or spin. They are not putting on a lot of energy in what they're doing. If you look at these two things, they're not. So Jesus is saying, I say, is Jesus being insensitive? I don't think Jesus is being insensitive. He goes on to say, I tell you that even Solomon in his splendor was dressed like one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field. We need to come back into the kingdom of God, into the will of God, into the principles of the kingdom, into fishing out other men and other women, enforcing a kingdom, living honestly, openly, living a holy life. I always say this, that God's highest characteristic is holiness. That's why the Spirit of God calls himself the Holy Spirit. He doesn't call himself the love spirit. People say, oh, God is love. He is love, yes. God is holy. He is holy. He is running a kingdom. He is. And the Father is in heaven. Me and you, so long as we are here on earth, we are meant to enforce his kingdom. That's why when it comes to prayer, I'm going to hit prayer today, Pastor Steve. When it comes to a half-night prayer, if I count everybody here, we are around about 100? 100 plus. We are around 100 plus people here. There should not be 9 people only in prayer from this church only who are constantly praying. While the Lord has said, pray without ceasing. Shouldn't be. When evangelism is called, there shouldn't be just a few. And yet I see 100 plus people here. Listen, we are all busy. Everybody is busy. Come on. We are all in the same boat. We are all in the same boat. In fact, if you look at the book of Exodus, Pharaoh said, give the slaves, do not give them straws anymore. Make their work harder. Egypt is a type of the world. Make your work busier and busier. Listen. We have to be deliberate. We have to be deliberate. We have to put God first and keep him first. Two things that are different. Putting God first and keeping him first. So, it says, verse 32, do not worry saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles or the pagans run after these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But do what? Seek ye first God's rulership, ownership, laws, and principles. Make sure that you are enforcing them. As you are enforcing them, you will not need even to reap or to sow. God will be adding to you. To him who has, more is added to him. To him who has that one thing, Jesus said even that will be taken away from him. Because he's not even doing anything to add more. Ladies and gentlemen, we're all busy people. I was telling some guys that most probably here, all of us here are lay ministers. Or we are lay people. What does that mean? I mean that we have a secular job. I also have a secular job. But if I decide I'm going to stay at home, church, I'll leave that to Edmund. MDP, that one I'll leave to Pastor Steve. Which one else? I'll leave that to him. How is God's kingdom going to move forward? Present your bodies. Underline the word bodies. Your body as a living sacrifice. Underline the word body. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Sacrificial living has to come back to the church. Yes, we've got jobs. We've got businesses. We work long hours, but I've got to wake up and pray at 5 a.m. And on Thursday, I've got to wake up on Thursday at 5 a.m. And this guy here is always there. Ask David, where are you? Where are you? Okay, are you here? Yes, then I've got to wake up. The kingdom of God. We are dealing with God. We're not dealing with the president. We're not dealing with the senator. We're not dealing with an MP. We're not. We're not dealing. Understand who you're dealing with. As I said, if the president came here, most of us would stand up. If the queen came here, most of us would be well dressed. So we'd be on time. Queen is coming. As the queen comes in, you'd walk. When Jesus comes, I said, you don't stand up, you fall down. Woe is me, Peter said. John, when he saw him in the book of Revelation, he fell down. You get down, you fall down. Some of you need to be broken. God needs to break you. So you can be free to worship God in prostrate, in kneeling, in worshiping him, in liberty. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. If I could have the worship team, please. And I want to pray for a few people. Why do I worry? God knows what I need. I will. Yes, Lord. And I don't have enough.
This is more than enough. So I'll give thanks to God.
Yes, Lord.
When I don't have enough,
let's reach out to the Lord.
'Cause it's more than enough, and he knows what I need. So I'll give thanks to God.
Yes, Lord.
When I don't have enough, 'cause it's more than enough, and he knows what I need. So I'll give thanks to God.
Yes, Lord. I want to pray for people who've been feeling weary and you've been feeling dry. That is you. Please come forward. We'll pray for you. I want to pray for people who've been feeling weary, been feeling dry. If the elders and ministers can help as well. We'll thank you, Lord. Yes.
Father, and he knows what I need, so I'll give thanks to God.
Those of us who are here, please, if there's anything that is displeasing to the Lord, if there's any sin, just repent of it. Sometimes it's just sin, sin of prayerlessness or just sin. Just repent of it. And also, I want to pray for people who want to reconnect once again with the Lord. You've not been fully engaging with the Lord, but you want to say, today I'm starting afresh. I said, God will do it again. If that is you, please do come forward as well.